Our New Testament reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin with verses 4 through 11. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Join me in prayer. This is us, O God. Here we are. Shape us and mold us, speak to us, so that our lives might speak of your love. Amen. So I want to start this morning by having a simple poll in the house. Everybody can participate. True or false? Middle school, 6th, 7th, 8th grades, can be some of the most awkward years of your life. I heard it loud and clear from the high schoolers over here who are in recovery from their middle school years. If you're anything like me, it's true that middle school can be very much an awkward time because there's a lot that is happening during that time. You're learning a greater sense of responsibility. School tends to get a little bit harder during these years. They can be rough. My seventh grade teacher, Miss Moore Williams, had a significant impact on my life. Now, sixth grade was a really tough year for me, but she helped to turn around my entire middle school experience. One of the stories that has stuck through with me throughout time is one that she told about a phrase that her mother would use every single time she left the house as she was growing up. "Remember who you are," she would call out. And it was a phrase that Miss Moore Williams brought into our classroom and into the lives in the midst of all of these hormony middle school students. Most of us not feeling at all like we had any sense, any confidence in who we were. But every day she reminded us that we were smart, talented, capable students. In a room full of people from a lot of different backgrounds, she celebrated how we were each different from each other, and that it was because of this that we had something important to share with one another. As a home room, she took the opportunity to find ways to help us build team and to work together. And as we left her classroom every morning to go about doing our rotation throughout the day, she would call out the phrase, "Remember who you are." Now, while Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians is not talking to a room full of middle schoolers, he is addressing a community trying to figure out who they are, specifically in light of Christ's life, as this early church is struggling to figure out how they are to function together and how the life of Christ should have an impact on their lives and who they were. And so in the first part of chapter 12, he begins by reminding them of their individual gifts, which is what Eric read with us. Now, I'm going to ask you to go here with me for a minute. I want you to take a moment and find your bulletin. And in your bulletin on the back, it's a new thing that's there. It's in the back of the trifold. It just has the word notes that is listed there. If you don't have one, you can grab a prayer card or a scrap sheet of paper around you. Or I'm not trying to make this an awkward middle school moment. So if you just want to think inside your head, that's okay too. You don't have to write it down. This is not a quiz or a test. You don't even have to turn it in or share with your neighbor, okay? I'm not going to take you there. But I just want you to think for a moment about this question. What are your gifts and strengths? Write those down. Capture those. What do you love to do? Go ahead. You can begin to write or just to allow some things to come up into your head. Are you an encourager? Are you good at finances? Are you good at engaging with people that you don't know, maybe? Are you an artist? Do you think strategically? What are your gifts and strengths? All right, now I just want you to hold on to that for a moment, whether or not it's in your head or on the sheet of paper in front of you. And as you do, I invite you to listen or follow along on the screens as we're going to read more of what Paul says to this community in Corinth. He picks up in verse 12. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though they are many. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part but many. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that mean that it's not part of the body? If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean that it's not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell, hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts but one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ. And parts of each other. Let me ask you this question. Alexis is going to throw up a new screen for us. Who recognizes this image? What is it? Mr. Potato Head. But how do you know it's just in pieces here in this photo? You know because you're familiar with it. You know what it looks like when it's put together. Now, if any of you can go back to your childhood, Mr. Potato Head would be pretty boring once you lose most of the parts, right? You only have one or two pieces, it's not as fun. What makes it fun and interesting is that there are all these different pieces that you can use to put the Mr. Potato Head together. All these different parts that can be configured to make this image. Now, as Paul talks with this community, he leads them to identify their individual gifts. And then he communicates the importance of our gifts as being part of something greater. Our gifts are powerful when they are shared. Businesses are successful and succeed when you utilize your skills and your knowledge to the fullest. The body is more interesting and fun when there are multiple parts to be incorporated. It's what makes us unique. Paul also emphasizes how sharing these gifts with others, it impacts the greater good, or the common good, as it's sometimes written. When we act in the same spirit as we are drawn together, the whole body benefits as we share who we are with one another. And there's not one part that's more important than the other. Now, I want to invite you to go back to whatever you jotted down or whatever came into your head earlier as I asked about your gifts and strengths. And now, not to invoke another awkward middle school moment, but I'm going to ask you to simply look around the room for a moment. Turn and see who's just sitting on the pew next to you. Maybe it's someone you know, maybe it's someone you don't. But as you look around for just a moment, realize this. We all wrote down different things. Even where there seems to be some overlap, there, I promise you, are some differences there. Each of us are whole, unique, beautiful individuals in so many ways. And yet, our greatest strength lies in being together. As we participate and engage with others, God needs everything that was written down today. We can't say to each other, I don't need you. Even what we might consider to be insignificant, Scripture says those are the parts that we need the most. Even a gift that you might have hesitated to write down, God needs that gift. I believe that it's just a human reality that sometimes we have this fear, because fear happens sometimes, of losing ourselves if we're to let others in. For any of you who have ever done a personality type like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs scale that helps you to identify what your tendencies might be in your personality, you know that one of the important things that you do is that as you hone in on who you are, how you identify, that you better also identify with other personality types that help to balance you out. God designed us to have each other. Our gifts, our language, our participation in our community, it's what speaks. It communicates, this is us. This is who we are. But also, praise God, there is room for who and what we may become. Now, sometimes this means that we're going to think strategically, make strategic moves, but other times it's going to mean that the Spirit is going to swoop in and guide us in some new directions. Your lives speak. You know, the goal for Paul as he was talking about these gifts was not to create this tidy little community life where everyone contributes their gift and then says, I'm out. But a loving one. And y'all, loving each other can sometimes be messy. If you tend to be the feet, sometimes you won't agree with what the hand or the heart might be saying. Loving means that we listen and that we work together and that we embrace each other, remembering that it is the body that binds us together. Even in the midst of celebrating the body of Christ, maybe even knowing that it was going to be messy at times, Paul in the last verse writes this, but strive for greater gifts, and I will show you still an even more excellent way. Paul directs this to the community, a better way, a more excellent way that embodies something even greater than our gifts or skills or talents. And he names it in chapter 13, which many of us know as the love chapter. It's love. Paul elevates love as being above our gifts. Love is the more excellent way. Love has the ability to include everybody as belonging to the body. Strive for an even greater gift, the gift of love. And still, God will show us even more. Now, I know that sometimes we feel our limitations. How many of you have said, oh, I can't. There's just no way. I believe that we are invited to consider this. What would we do if we were 10 times bolder? How would we be different if our love was 10 times deeper and wider and longer? And may it be true, and so that our communal life together speak and show signs of welcome and embrace, of hope, excitement, joy, and above all else, can you say it with me? Love. Can you say it with me? Love. And may the Lord our God continue to reveal an even more excellent way. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.